Don't know if you can read the title chart or not. It shows up fine on my computer, but I don't know how good it shows up there. The word that's supposed to be up there is commitment. The reason why I chose this cover slide, because it's the word commitment written in sand, probably on a beach somewhere. You know, I'm afraid, I think all of us know that commitment's important. Commitment to the Lord especially is important. But I'm afraid sometimes when we commit to things, it's kind of like writing in the sand. How long does it last? We need to realize the importance of making the commitment and sticking to those commitments. Commitment is important. Commitment to the Lord. There's nothing more important than that. To define the term commitment, we need to realize that it is a giving over of something to another. It is dedicating, determining, purposing. But I'm afraid that some of us perhaps are just merely involved instead of actually committed. We're involved in religious service to the Lord. We do some good things for the Lord sometimes, and we're involved. The question is not, are we involved? The question is, are we really committed? Now, all who are committed will certainly be involved. But not all who are involved are committed. Are you committed, or are you merely involved? To be involved is simply to be engaged as a participant. But to be committed is to be bound or obligated as under a pledge to a particular cause, action, or attitude. Are we committed to the Lord? Have we bound or obligated ourselves to His service? Have we pledged to His cause and to serve Him in action and to become like Him in attitude? Have we committed ourselves to that? How many of you have heard about the story of the pig and the chicken that came up to the breakfast house there in town, small town? They come up and there's a special in the window. It says ham and eggs. Ham and eggs. And the pig looks at the chicken, and the chicken looks at the pig. And the pig says, "I'm committed, you're not." And of course the idea is, what does the chicken commit in that? An egg. And the pig says, "All you do is cackle." And that's true. That's all it costs the chicken, is a cackle. But what does it cost the pig? Commitment. The pig is committed to the breakfast. The chicken is merely involved in the breakfast. Are we committed as we ought to be? You know, when you look at the religious world today, the social gospel, it emphasizes fun and frolic. It draws people based upon what they want. And really there's not much commitment involved except the commitment to be involved. Not really a commitment to the cause, to the truth. Not really a commitment to spread the gospel. But a commitment to be involved. We need to realize the gospel demands more than just involvement. The gospel demands our commitment. Does God deserve our commitment? Does the Lord Jesus Christ deserve our commitment? Are we committed to the truth of the gospel? And are we committed to living holy lives? Commitment. Are you truly committed? Well, what about me? Am I truly committed? There are things that come along in life that hinder us, that trip us sometimes and we stumble, but we need to get right back up. Why? Because we're committed to the cause. Am I committed to the cause? Am I totally committed to the cause of Christ? to the truth of the gospel? Or am I merely involved? Do I just have a part of my life delegated to Him, and the rest I live for myself? You see, that's not really committed, is it? I need to give Him everything. When I'm at work during the week, when I am at play on the weekend, I need to still be committed to the Lord while I'm doing those things. Everything I do needs to be done for Him, to Him, to glorify Him. Now, there are some perhaps here this morning that are merely involved. Maybe some here this morning that are merely observers. They just come and they listen, they observe, but they are not really even involved. But we need to go beyond that involvement stage to become truly committed to the cause of Christ. When you have a local church made up of truly committed people, you have a local church that is going to grow. If you have a local church that's made up of people who are merely involved, you're not going to grow like you should. When you have a local church made up of people who are merely observers, you're going to die. We need to be involved, but we need to be more than merely involved. You know, life is all about priorities and values. I've heard it said many times that commitment is dependent upon our faith, and that's true. Faith is an essential element. We're not going to be committed to that which we do not believe in. But let me go a step further. We're not going to be committed to that which we do not value. If we do not evaluate correctly and value what we are committed to, certainly we will not be. Commitment is based upon value. If we value a thing, we will be committed to it. If we value the Lord, if we value His sacrifice, if we value His kingship, His lordship, His deity, if we value Him, we will commit to Him, if we properly value Him. If we're committed to marriage, that means we treasure marriage. When we cease to be committed to marriage, what does that mean? And what does that indicate? That means that I do not properly value it. If I'm not committed to the Lord, that means I do not properly value Him. And by not being committed to Him, I disrespect Him. Those who are committed to themselves, they treasure things, like the man in Luke 12, 15 through 21. He valued his things. Now, I want to look at some passages. We're going to go through some verses of Scripture, and I'm going to emphasize some points from these passages of Scripture. The first one is Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. So first the commitment is made to the Lord. Okay, I'm going to work, I'm going to serve the Lord. The things that I do in life, I'm going to do it to Him. And the Lord says, if you do that, your thoughts will be established. Well, first of all, what is entailed in committing my works to the Lord? Well, I'm going to want to know what the Lord wants me to do. In order for me to commit my works to Him, I have to know what He wants from me. So I look to Him for guidance, for instruction. That's part and included in this idea of committing your works to the Lord. So if I seek out His counsel, if I seek out His Word, so that I may do what He wants me to do, my thoughts will certainly be established. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. In Matthew 13, in verses 44 through 46, Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought. Was this man committed to that treasure? Sure he was. He hid it, and then he went and sold. How committed was he? He sold everything he had so that he could buy that field. Was the man committed to that pearl? Sure he was. How committed was he? He went and sold everything that he had so that he could purchase that pearl. That's how committed he was to purchasing it. How committed are we to the gospel? If we properly value the gospel, we will give all we have for it. A treasure hidden in the field, or a pearl of great price, those are just material things. How much more valuable is the gospel? In Luke 9, verses 23 through 25, then he said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Now, there are a couple of things in this passage. First of all, Jesus emphasizes the commitment that it takes to follow Him. Let Him take up His cross daily and follow Him. Okay, so taking up a cross is included in this commitment. Commitment to die to myself and to live for Christ. The commitment to follow Jesus. And the commitment to the soul. For what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? Matthew's account says, if a man loses his own soul. How much do we value our soul? How much are we committed to the preservation and salvation of our soul? Are we willing to commit to the Lord? The Lord demands total commitment. Look at Luke 9, beginning in verse 57. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" Now it sounds like this man was committed to the Lord, doesn't it? "I will follow you wherever you go." That's commitment. Jesus wants the man to know what he's asking or what he's committing to. You are committing yourself to a life, not of ease, but of hardship. Not of material riches, but of loss. Then, verse 59 says, "Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" Now here, what you have is a man who is saying, "Lord, I will follow you, but, you know, my father's not in good health. He may not last much longer, so let me wait until he passes away eventually, and then I'll follow you." The Lord says, "No, you let the dead bury their own dead. You let the spiritual dead take care of those things. Listen, there's something more important than that. Something more important than physical life. There's something more important than physical relationships. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Do what we can while we have opportunity," is really the lesson here. And to value and commit to things that are of spiritual importance instead of physical importance. Commit to those things that are spiritual. Verse 61, "Another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Now, the man is not saying, Lord, just let me go say goodbye to them and wave at them. No, there were other things involved in this. This, too, was a lengthy process. Okay, I've got to go bid them farewell. We've got to have a party. We've got to have all of these things. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You don't have time for those things. There is something more important. That is the kingdom of God and serving the Lord. The Lord demands total commitment. Commitment to Him and not commitment to family relations. Commitment to Him and not to material things. Do we understand that? Even commitment to Him goes beyond our material obligations. Do we understand the commitment that it takes to serve the Lord? In Luke 14, verse 25, now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot... You may want to underline that in your Bible. Cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now first of all, let me say this about verse 26. If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. The word hate means love less. I have to love the Lord more than anyone else. And if I do not, I cannot be the Lord's disciple. If I'm not willing to bear His cross and follow Him, I cannot be His disciple. That's commitment. Commitment to the Lord based upon our value of Him. Do we truly value the Lord? And verse 29, lest after He has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock Him. Okay, this fellow makes a commitment to build a building, but he has not really thought it out. He has not realized what he's getting himself into. He does not properly understand. So he lays the foundation, but he's not able to finish. Why? Because he did not truly count the cost beforehand. And all who see it begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000, or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. You count the cost. Do you know what following the Lord really is going to require of you? Commitment. Total commitment. Verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple. A preacher and a church that asks its members to be totally committed to the Lord is not ever going to be among the mega churches. You understand that, don't you? There aren't many who are willing to truly be committed to the Lord. They're willing to be involved, but not truly committed. But what does the Lord expect of us? What does the Lord expect? Are we truly committed? In Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 10 through 13, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This passage, first of all, the idea of being faithful, trustworthy. It's an individual who is committed to doing what's right. And this individual is faithful in that which is least. On television last night, there was the old movie back in the 80s, The Karate Kid. Probably most of you have seen that movie. You know, the wife on, wife off, wife on, wife off. You know, up, down, up, down. You know, Mr. Miyagi is teaching Daniel to do karate. Well, the young man does not understand what all this waxing, washing and waxing the car is all about, painting the fence, painting the house, sanding the deck. He doesn't understand any of that. He thinks that he's just being used by this guy. So he finally gets mad and he confronts him. And Mr. Miyagi demonstrates to him that all the things that he had been doing, even though it was not known by him, was preparing his muscles and preparing his skills to do the basic fundamental things in karate. And Daniel realized that. Well, you know, we don't always understand what God asks of us. We don't always understand the reason behind it, I should say. It may seem small, insignificant. But everything has a purpose that God asks of us. It builds character. It builds us up. It tests us, tries us. Everything. Now, a person who is faithful in the least things to God will also be faithful in the bigger things. To count things as being insignificant, we may not see the purpose behind it, but we need to understand the importance of it. Trust is a big part of that. And by the way, before the instructions even began, Mr. Miyagi told Daniel, he said, "You have to make a promise to me that you do whatever I say and ask no questions." Daniel agreed. He committed. Then he began to question his commitment. We need to understand that God, He has told us things to do. We have to trust Him that He knows what He's doing. When we're faithful in that which is least, we will be faithful in that which is greater, and we'll be given more responsibility, and we'll grow and grow and grow. Well, Jesus also says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be divided in your affections, in your loyalties, in your commitments. Are we committed to God? You cannot be equally committed to God and the world at the same time. The Lord demands total commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." What did Paul commit to the Lord? He committed himself. He committed his soul. He committed his body. He committed himself. He committed his life to the Lord. And you can see that in the efforts that the Apostle Paul put forth in his life in serving the Lord. He is certainly a good example for us. A man who had lived in an ignorant religion, but now he learned the truth and he committed himself. Didn't Paul commit himself to the Lord? How many thousands of miles did he walk? and travel. How many stripes did he receive on his back? How many times in prison? Paul was a committed man and a great example. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, that doesn't mean that I'm saved by the skin of my teeth. That's not the point. The point is that God has strict requirements and regulations. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14? "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow or difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Why? Because it requires complete commitment. The ungodly and the sinner, those who do not commit to the Lord, those who do not live for the Lord, they have no hope. So He encourages us, even if we suffer, according to the will of God, to commit our souls to Him in doing good. He is a faithful Creator. He will give us what He has promised. So the commitment is worth it. No question about that. Shouldn't be. The Lord demands total commitment. If we give Him that, He's promised us eternity with Him in heaven. Is it worth it? Now, I want to mention quickly some evidences of our commitment to the Lord. It all begins with when we hear the gospel and we believe it. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that He died for our sins. We believe that He's been raised from the dead and He is now sitting at the right hand of God. We believe that He is Lord. So we declare our faith in Christ. Okay, that in actuality is a commitment. I'm making a public declaration of my faith in Jesus Christ, and in that act, I am making a commitment to Him. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you will be saved. Now we understand that that's unto salvation. Acts 8 and verse 37, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he was traveling along, was met by Philip. Philip preached the gospel to him. Started in Isaiah 53, preached the gospel to him. And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." When we make that confession, not just with the mouth, of course, but when we believe that and make that confession, we are pledging ourselves to His service. We recognize who He is. Now we're properly valuing Him. When we realize who Jesus is and we acknowledge in both our mind and our speech who Jesus is and we turn from our sins, that is an evidence of our commitment to Him. I'm no longer going to live for myself. I'm going to live for Him who died for me. Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "The Thessalonian brethren, they turned away from idols to serve the living God." They repented. That is evidence of our commitment to the Lord. To be buried with Him in baptism. Mark 16, 16, Jesus said, "If you believe and baptize, you shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Do we believe and have we been baptized into Christ? Acts 2, 38. Again, Romans 6, 3 through 5. Baptized into Christ, into His death. Are we committed to Him? so that we can be raised to walk in newness of life with Him? Galatians 3 and verse 27. Verse 26 says, "For you are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ." Putting on Christ is an act of commitment. And keeping His commandments. Have we committed our lives to keep His commandments? Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Verse 18 says, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world or the age." Keep His commandments. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. "The grace of God teaches us to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world." Are we willing to do that? Well, these are some basic fundamental things, but let me suggest some other things. Evidences of our commitment to the Lord. What about the choices that we make in our everyday life? What about my profession? The choice of profession. What does that say about my commitment to the Lord? What if I choose a profession that I know is going to prevent me from serving the Lord like I should? Or location which I live. A choice to move somewhere, probably because of a job, that I know that it's going to be difficult for me to serve the Lord. How will my commitment to the Lord affect my choices? Young people who are thinking about getting married, what will your commitment to the Lord do with your choice of a mate? The evidence of your commitment to the Lord will be reflected in the choices that you make. What kind of movies do you watch? What kind of songs do you listen to? Who are your friends? Evil communications do corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Choices. What about my attendance? What do my attendance habits say about my commitment to the Lord? Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And I know that verse 25 says, "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well aware of the word forsake, what it means. It means to utterly abandon, to push away. But it also means to let down. To forsake means to let someone else down. You know that I have not made a big argument on the word forsake. From a negative perspective, do not forsake. That passage is there and it's true. And if you forsake the assembling of yourself with the saints, you're sinning against God. But I've always emphasized verse 24. Verse 24, which emphasizes the need to consider one another, to edify and encourage one another. The Scripture says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." I can't do that when I am not here. That is a positive commandment. "And he that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." That is a positive command. If I do not attend with the saints, then I cannot fulfill a command that the Lord has given to me. If that is the case, how committed am I to Him? Attendance does reflect my commitment to the Lord. My worship and service to Him is reflected in how I help my brethren and help the cause of the Lord in the local church. What about Bible study? Psalms 1 and verse 2, Psalms 119 verse 127, David, we see the attitude that David had. Psalms 119 verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Are we willing to give our time and effort to studying the Scripture. Bible classes, but not just Bible classes, our own individual study time each and every day, reading the Bible. By the way, Arla asked this morning about the reading guide things for next year. There are some more in the vestibule on the right side in the rack. If you'd like to pick one up, getting ready to read your Bible every day so you can keep a track of it. Bible study. Have we engaged in that? What does that say about our commitment to the Lord? Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. No. The word study means give diligence to. Give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Giving diligence requires that I handle correctly the word of truth. I need to know what God wants me to do so that I can please Him. A committed person is going to be engaged in Bible study. Prayer. Romans 12 and verse 12 and many other passages. Pray always. Be constant in prayer, Paul said. A committed person to the Lord will be engaged in prayer to the Lord. Giving. 2 Corinthians 8 verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul is commending the brethren for giving more, even more than what they were able. It says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear them witness according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, verse 5 makes a very striking statement. It says, "For not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." They were committed, weren't they? They gave themselves to the Lord. People who give themselves to the Lord, people who are committed to the Lord, give to His cause. Evidences of our commitment to the Lord. Spiritual growth. Hebrews 5 verses 12 through 14. The Hebrew writer says to those brethren, he says, "By this time some of you ought to be teachers, but you need to be fed with milk." They had not grown like they should. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall need to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And he goes on and says again, "Giving all diligence." Commitment. You're not going to give all diligence to that which you're not committed, are you? Commitment. Are we committed to growing spiritually? Evangelism. Acts 8 and verse 4. "They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the truth." Why? Why did they go everywhere preaching the truth? They left Jerusalem. Why? They were being persecuted. A person that is not committed to the Lord would just quit. Why suffer for that which I'm not committed to? But they did. They suffered. And then they fled. But they didn't just run away to run away. They ran away and preached the gospel to others. They preached the word everywhere they went. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, "These brethren were suffering too. But they spread the word throughout the area, regions of Achaia." To the point that the Apostle Paul says that we don't have to say anything. Evangelism. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. We have that obligation today as well, to evangelize, to teach others. So, what about your life and your activities in the Lord? Do those things speak of your commitment to Him? In Revelation, turn with me in closing.
We'll go through this kind of quickly. Revelation chapter 2. And from this text,
we have those who are committed to the Lord, and we have those who are not. You may want to go home and read this and think about it from this perspective this afternoon. Staying committed. Look in Revelation 2 and verse 5 as he's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, what was the problem? They had left their first love. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what did they need to do to correct it? They need to remember their first love. They need to remember from whence they had fallen. To stay committed. Sometimes we do stumble. We do slack off. How many of you have never slacked off? You've been committed and you've kept on going. You've never stumbled. You've never become discouraged. What do you do? Well, first of all, you remember. And you get back on, you recommit your life. And Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you your crown of life." Now this is written to a persecuted church, the church of Smyrna. Faithful church. "I know your works and tribulation and your poverty." Verse 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer." Don't be fearful, but faithful. Remember, Jesus is faithful to His promise. Repent. Revelation 2:16 and Revelation 2:5. Repent. Change your mind. Recommit. Keeping His works to the end. Revelation 2:25 and 26. The church at Thyatira. "But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power and over the nations." Commit. You keep working. Keep working. When times get discouraging, keep working. Don't stop. And hold on fast. Don't let go. Hold on to the rope. Even when you think you can't hold on any longer, keep holding on to the rope. Hope will help. Perseverance, patience, and zeal. Be zealous. Now that, of course, spoken to the church at Laodicea, and they were all but zealous. They were lukewarm. In fact, as you think about these things from the other perspective, there are things that indicate our lack of commitment to the Lord. And we see that in this context as well. The church at Ephesus, they valued other things more than the Lord. They had left their first love. And doctrinal maturity. The church at Smyrna had tolerated doctrinal error, the Nicolaitans, which the Lord hated. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, the church at Thyatira, "Nevertheless, I have a few names among you because you allow that woman, few things among you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." Living on past accomplishments. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." They had died. And they were living on their past reputation and accomplishment. Neglecting opportunities to serve. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The church at Philadelphia. They look for opportunities, and the Lord says, "I have opened a door that no man can close." What if we neglect those opportunities to serve? We close the door. Becoming lukewarm like the church at Laodicea. Materialistic and arrogant. That's the church at Laodicea. Were they committed to the Lord? Matthew 6 and verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Value. That which we truly value, we commit to. Are we committed to spiritual faith? Are we committed to the Lord like we ought? Jesus goes on in verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" This is talking about focus. This is talking about allowing the Word of God to guide our life and be focused on that. To being wholly committed to that. And then verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man." Are we committed to the Lord, or are we committed to ourselves? Are we committed to things? Are we committed to something other, anything other than the Lord? My friend, if you are, you cannot please the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's about to die. He's about to be martyred for the cause of Christ. Verse 7, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love His appearing." Was Paul committed? Better believe. He demonstrated it in his life. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight." He was a good soldier. He kept the faith. He was faithful to his call, to the Lord's call. And he finished the race. He never quit. That takes commitment, my friend. Are you as committed to the Lord as you ought to be? Maybe you've never committed your life to the Lord in obeying the gospel. If you have not, this morning, why not? You need to. You know, there was a man named Felix in Acts chapter 24, verse 25. The apostle Paul preached the gospel to him, talked about judgment, talked about self-control and righteousness, and Felix trembled. But he said, maybe later, he wanted to wait for a more convenient season. My friend, that season may never come for you. We don't know that it ever came for him. But I'll tell you right now, this morning, you can't obey the gospel. Commit to him. Felix was not willing to commit. Why not now? What about you? Maybe you are a Christian. You've obeyed the gospel in the past, but you realize you're not as committed as you ought to be. Repent. Do the first work. Remember. Commit yourself to the Lord and live for Him. Live for Him like you've never lived for Him before. Live for Him in a way in which you'll be like Paul. You'll receive that crown of life that's promised to you. Be among those who love His appearance. You're here this morning. We can help you in your obedience to the gospel. Anything at all, will you come as we stand?